and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion, 904-831-0917. Our guest today is Congressman Mike Hill, a former District 1 representative for the Florida House of Representatives. We're delighted that he is with us. Congressman Hill, hold your thoughts for just one moment. Kenneth has been waiting for a while. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, gentlemen. I appreciate it. I tell you, I never really listened to Charles, and but I've heard so much about him that now, I mean, I'm on the backbone of what his wife said. They just don't know what they've done. They've unleashed the whirlwind. Because you had so many students, I think at the Kennedy Center, you had a whole bunch of young people there also. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just amazing. His wife stood up and said what she said after her husband was killed.
It took a lot of grace for his wife Erica to stand and say what she said, and after the immediate loss of her husband. I'm thankful for that. She's right. In fact, I believe the statistic shows the numbers. Actually, I believe it was 11 o'clock last evening, I read an article that said some 32,000 students had signed up as a result of Charlie Kirk's death, signed up for Turning Point USA Academy and to study the patriotic, fundamental, foundational beliefs and what you find in our Bill of Rights and our Constitution and in the Word of God. So I'm thankful for that. Kenneth, time is
very, very...
Go ahead. Yes, quickly.
Okay, his roommate was trying to transform from a man to a woman, right?
In a transition. He was rooming with, dating, if you want to, a lover with, a transsexual, yes.
Right. I just wanted to make sure I had that right.
You've got it right, and we'll talk about that with Congressman Hill in just a moment. I think that's one of the things that promulgated the animus, the hate, the anger that even brought boiled to the point of murder was because that was a sin that Charlie Kirk had addressed, that God created only two genders, that you cannot transgender from a male to a female, etc. And I believe that's one of the things that triggered this assassin into pulling the trigger and taking the life of Charlie Kirk, because Charlie Kirk spoke the truth based on the authority of the Word of God. So therefore, that formulates my question for the session today. What is hate speech? Was Charlie Kirk speaking hate speech when he said that God created male and female, only two genders? I say not. But the media and others, I'm looking at a headline, the political analyst suggests Charlie Kirk deserved to be shot. It was the MSNBC, Matthew Dowd, that immediately after Charlie Kirk's murder said he deserved it. He got what he deserved. This is what he said. Awful words are not expected, should not expect anything other than awful actions, end quote. He got what he deserved. Kenneth, that's exactly the point today, is that we need to recognize that we're in a vortices of anger and hostility toward Christians, conservatives, and patriots because of standing for the truth, standing on the truth, and speaking the truth. This is the reason it deserves us, deserves our admonition to keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. So, Kenneth, thank you so much, brother, for your call. Congressman Hill, we're going to keep you on hold for just another moment. I believe Tom is on the line. Tom, go over the question to comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I'd like to thank you for when there is such a important topic as this assassination, that you bring out your big guns. And I'd like to thank Dr. Hill, Congressman Hill, for all the good that he's done. I've always supported him, both with my voice and my pocketbook. And I'm just wondering, I'd like to ask him, the question is why does it take shed blood? Why does it have to have a murder to move the mark left or right? Have we degenerated into that position?
Congressman Hill, go ahead.
Tom, first of all, thank you for your generosity of being a friend and a supporter. I do appreciate that. And you raise a very interesting question. Actually, it's a deep philosophical question about the shedding of blood. The Bible tells us there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And in fact, in the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, there was a shedding of blood. God himself killed an innocent animal and covered them with clothes, showing that he had protected them, that they were covered, and that he also made a way that it was going to happen for mankind when he spoke and said, your seed is going to bring redemption, meaning himself was going to. Now, the left, evil, they always pervert what God speaks as truth. So when he says there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood, you'll see even today, Muslims will come to Mecca and hold these, it looks like a slaughterhouse in there where they'll bring animals and slaughter them, perverting what God had said originally. And that has been fulfilled and taken care of by the shedding of our Lord and Savior Jesus' blood. There is no longer need for shedding of blood to get rid of evil, to get rid of sin. His blood took care of all that. But what we see on the left is a perversion of the truth. And so they think the only way to stop the right is to shed blood, is to commit violence. It's to go out and murder, to maim and destroy. That comes straight from the devil. It does not come from God. And we see that so often on the left, not just in America, but around the world. It is part of the human condition that rejects God, that rejects the truth. They always lash out in violence.
Absolutely. And Tom, one of the things that I will add to that is a parenthetical footnote. We find the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. He's already said in the 15th chapter of John, verse 18, if the world hate you, know ye first that it hated me before it hated you. It's an animus. It is a hatred for truth. And I'll add to that, to this article briefly, Tom. RFK Jr., on assassination of Charlie Kirk, says, once again, a bullet has silenced the most eloquent truth-teller of our era. Goes on to say, once again, a bullet has silenced the eloquence of truth, most eloquent truth-teller. And it's from Robert Kennedy Jr. He says this, my dear friend Charlie Kirk was the country's relentless and courageous crusader for free speech. We pray for Erica and the children. Charlie's already in paradise with the angels. We ask for prayers for our country, etc. Kirk, a conservative firebrand, a committed follower of Jesus Christ, died after being shot at an event at Utah Valley University. So the bottom line is, Tom, if I can put just a little ribbon on our statements and our conversation about this. The world hated the Lord Jesus because he spoke truth. The world hated Charlie Kirk because he spoke truth. And the truth that he spoke was in diametric opposition to the lifestyle, the living, and the practices of the executioner that executed Charlie Kirk with one assassin's bullet. And it's because of hatred. And may I even broaden that, Congressman Hill? That's what we see coming, being spewed out of the mouths of the liberals on the left. I call it the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party. They hate truth. They are rebelling against truth. And it's the truth of God's Word that's the fundamental foundation of what Charlie Kirk was standing on. And they hated him for that. It is a fact that he was hated because of truth. Tom, thank you, brother, for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Congressman Hill, I'm looking at another article. Charlie Kirk's alleged assassin lived with a transgender partner who is now cooperating with the FBI. I've got a fistful, about 5, 6, or 7 articles from different people, from different approaches, that state that that is the case. Reading a headline of another, President Trump confirms that Kirk's assassin has a transgendered partner. And from the statement about President Trump confirmed that Charlie Kirk's assassin, Tyler Robinson, indeed has a transgender partner. President Trump told me this morning Kirk's assassin has a transgender individual. Tyler Robinson lived with the transgender partner, a male being transgendered to female. So, Congressman Hill, in your opinion, would that be enough to agitate the shooter to believe that he's got to silence the one that is outspoken that says that it's sin, that God did not create a transgendered person, but only two genders? What say you?
Absolutely, Dr. Youngblood. I'm pretty sure. Well, let me say that you would suspect that that is what prompted this individual to commit this heinous crime. Usually, first of all, we have to again back up and just go to definitions. There's no such thing as a transgender person.
That's right.
Dr. Youngblood. You can't change from one sex into another. Usually, in a homosexual relationship, one person plays the male role, the other person plays the female role. What we have seen now more open in our society is the one who is playing a female role, taking their delusion, their mental derangement even further, and trying to use surgery and take hormones and medication and so forth to try and change themselves into a woman. It's impossible. It's a delusion. It's deceit. But they have fallen for it completely. And so this one gentleman who actually committed the crime, perhaps it was out of passion for his deranged, and by the way, he's deranged also, mm-hmm. to say that he loves, you know, someone who's going through this transition. And if he was saying that, and this is all just speculation on my part, Dr. Youngblood, if he finds that his partner was being severely offended by what was being said by Charlie Kirk, and out of his deranged passion for this person, he now acted out to prevent any more attacks against this deranged individual. That could be intent and motive enough right there. Now, I'm reading news articles that this person is not cooperating with law enforcement, but the transgender person, which again, there's no such thing, that person and a family are. So apparently this person has listened to perhaps legal counsel, again, I don't know, but he has listened to the fact that whatever you say can and will be used against you. And he's probably not opening his mouth. He's not saying a word because he knows he is in big trouble. Both President Trump and I and the Department of Justice, and I also hear the governor of Utah has said, we are going to seek the death penalty for this action.
Absolutely. And I think that I said the other day, you know, in the state of Utah, a person that's been condemned to die for the crime of murder has three choices. The old Sparky, the place where he could be fried, and he could be executed by a firing squad or die by way of lynching. So he's got three choices before him. But the thing I'm concerned about, they've already saying that he, the shooter, is going to have to go through some intense checking up to see if he is mentally competent to stand trial. And so it's my fear, my concern, that they will say that he's a fruitcake and therefore he shouldn't be tried for the act of murder. I'm concerned about that. But here's a fact that I believe ties up the loose end of our question about his anger about the truth teller, that is Charlie Kirk, saying God created only two genders. Headline says, transgender and anti-fascist messages are found engraved on bullets in the gun found after Kirk's assassination. Anti-fascist and transgender messages were found written on bullets in the gun discovered nearby after conservative activist Charlie Kirk was assassinated at a Utah school campus. FBI agents said they found an older 30 caliber hunting rifle in the woods near the scene of the shooting, etc. And three unspent rounds were found in the rifle's magazine, all allegedly engraved with transgender and anti-fascist messages, according to the report. So it's he left behind a pretty good fingerprint, if you please, that's what angered him, and those bullets were aimed to be used at the one that was speaking the truth. So the bottom line is, Congressman Hill, that I believe is the tying up loose ends of what I want us to understand today. What is it about hate speech? What is it that in our Bill of Rights, where we have the right of free speech, that could be carved out and called hate speech? In fact, I'm looking at an article that says, Governor Pritzker blames Trump and the January 6th event for Charlie Kirk's assassination. Now, could that be deemed hate speech? And yet that is what's being promulgated and spewed out of the hearts and the mouths of the Marxist media and multitudes of those on the left side of the aisle. Now, how do you respond to a governor that says this shooter is not the blame, that President Trump is the blame for the shooter pulling the trigger, and therefore we need to look at what Trump has done? And secondly, part of that question would be, did the rifle kill the Charlie Kirk, or did the assassin that pulled the trigger? We have a spewing out of the left also, the Marxist media and the left, saying we need to have more gun controls. Would more gun controls stop what just took place? Should we have more gun controls? Was it the gun's fault, or was it the lunatic that pulled the trigger?
Well, to answer your second question first, Dr. Youngblood, of course, it was a deranged individual who did pull that trigger, not the gun. The gun cannot aim and shoot itself. It must have a person doing so. That being said, even though this person was evil, there was something wrong there, he is not insane.
That's right.
He had enough sense to know to disguise himself going to the event. I saw a video where they saw an individual with perhaps something in his pants leg as he was walking. He had enough sense to take aim, pull the trigger. He had enough sense to run away, try to ditch the weapon, try to disguise himself. And he had enough sense to try to elude the law. That is not an insane person. An insane person cannot control their actions. Now, he was mean. It was evil. He was deranged, but that's not insanity. And so he can try that as a plea if he would like, but that's not the case. Now, back to your first question about Governor Pritzker saying that it's Trump's fault because of all this. This raises a very interesting point, Dr. Youngblood. First of all, you don't see any Democrats, at least I haven't. I haven't seen it yet. A Democrat who came out and said, I'm sorry that this happened. I hate that this happened to Charlie Kirk. It's evil that we don't need to. I haven't seen a single one doing that. Chuck Schumer, the crazy Jasmine Crockett, Eric Swalwell, any of them, Jamie Raskin, the one that always run to the microphone. I haven't seen or heard a single one of them yet come forward and say this was wrong. Charlie Kirk should not have been shot for his words. I haven't seen it, Dr. Youngblood. And what it is, instead, they're trying to place blame on Trump, on a gun, on his speech, or whatever. But not a single one came out and said murdering someone for what they are saying is wrong. And that speaks volume of Democrats, of where they are, where their deranged position is on a number of issues.
Congressman Hill, you're on target with that. In fact, I believe their words in that regard are just simply a deflection of the reality of the fact that now for years, the Obama administration, the Biden administration, and all the acolytes in that group, they have all been saying that Trump and Trump followers are hate speechers, that we're somehow fascist, somehow we are Hitler, and all in all, in fact, I've listened to a whole montage of the speeches from some of these on the left, that we've got to take Trump out, we've got to stop this hate speech by the MAGA group, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So listen, my question to you for the clarification for our listeners today, if you hear with a resounding statement over and over and over saying that some of these people are a threat to our democracy and we're not a democracy, but what Trump is saying and all of the Trump followers called the MAGA followers, that we are undermining, tearing down, and destroying, that we're the ones that need to be removed, we're the ones that need to be seen as the enemy. If that's said enough, are we witnessing the end result of that?
That's right. That's right, Dr. Young. But, you know, they're trying to, as you say, deflect. They're actually projecting when they try to say, hey, this is Trump's fault. No, it's your fault if you're going to place any blame. And actually, I wouldn't place the blame on anyone other than the individual. He committed the crime. He committed the sin. He made the conscious decision to do so. It is all on him. Just because someone else tells you to do something doesn't mean that you have to do it. You have a conscience. You know what is right and wrong. Now, we have so many on the left who have a seared mind, a seared conscience, to where even though they know it's wrong, they will do it anyway. And so they say we need to stop the MAGA movement. We need to stop those. It won't be enough, Dr. Youngblood. It is insatiable. Whatever they want, they will always want more, and then more. It will never be enough. Sin is insatiable. It's like an empty womb. It's like the grave. It's like a desert. It always wants more. And those Democrats, those on the left, they are always going to want more. It's never enough, no matter what you give them, even when they see some of their social programs don't work. They simply double down and continue to try to do it.
Absolutely. And one of the things that vivifies, in a sense, what you've just said, you recall just a few days ago, there was a request on the House floor to have prayer for Charlie Kirk. That's immediately after he was shot, before it was publicly known that he had died. Headline says, House Democrats shout no when Representative Boebert requests spoken prayer for Charlie Kirk. House Democrat lawmakers could be heard Wednesday shouting, no, 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 after Colorado Republican Representative Lauren Boebert requested a spoken prayer for Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk, who was killed. That's after they knew he was killed on the floor. Kirk, 31, was shot, etc. What purpose does a gentlelady from Colorado rise, Johnson asked, that Speaker of the House. Lawmakers could be heard softly speaking speaking over Bobart, prompting Johnson to say, "Hush, hush." Bobart then asked if they could take a moment of prayer. The Democrats screamed out all over the floor, "No, no, no." Democrat lawmakers could be heard shouting back, "No, no, no." That shows the insensitivity, the lack of recognition of the major, major, major devastation that had just taken place. That, I believe, Congressman Hill, shows the heart of the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, that even when you're saying, here's a person that his life has been taken, here's a person that's left a wife and two children behind, here's an individual that was speaking truth and following the principles of the Word of God and our Constitution, here's an individual that's innocent of all that should be called hate speech, and yet he has been murdered, and we said, let's pray for his family. And then you find that from the communist left. So, Congressman Hill, I reckon my bottom line is, and I always like to end on this typical note, how should we then live? What should our listeners take away from our broadcast today, and how should they respond? And before you answer that, I'm going to read a brief portion of a Facebook post. My daughter just asked why God didn't protect Charlie Kirk. Good question. Hard question. I've seen God supernaturally protect. He can and he does. But Jesus also calls us to be ready to die for him. All I could say was, I don't know, but I am sure that Charlie's with Jesus now, and he won. He was faithful even to death. That's what the little girl was told by her parents when she asked that question. So how do you respond to that for our listeners today?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I know this, that in every situation, God is faithful. Mm-hmm. His hand is always doing what is right. Whether we see it or recognize it at the time is irrelevant. God is always faithful. To answer this little girl, why did God allow that? I would say, like the father, I don't know, but I do know that God is faithful. God is always with us. God is there. He will take what is evil and turn it into good. We saw that with Joseph. His brothers meant it for evil, selling him into slavery. Years later, it was turned into good. So how this is going to turn out, we don't know, Dr. Youngblood. But answering your question, how should we as Christians respond? I go to Psalm 94:16, where the Lord asks this question, who will rise up for me Amen. Against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Here am I, O Lord, send me.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, that's a good footnote to add to conclude our broadcast today. And again, thank you so much for taking your time to be with us. And we're looking forward to having you next time with us. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the